Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Earlier this month, a man was dropped off at Northumberland Hills Hospital with a gunshot wound. After an OPP investigation, a police raid took place on a property within Alderville First Nation. Shortly after, the band council took action to remove the people living on that property. On today's show, Alderville First Nations Chief Dave Mowat will explain why he and the band council took these serious steps. More importantly, he will delve into these unique powers and why they are so important to keeping his community safe.
I'm so pleased to have with me today Alderville First Nations Chief Dave Mowat. Welcome back to Consider This.
Thanks, Rob. Nice to be here again.
On March 16th, 2023, you and members of the Alderville Band Council, along with the OPP escort, went to an address on Shearer Point Road to evict a man and his tenant, asking them to leave the reserve. Can we begin by explaining why you did this?
Well, as the media reported, there was a man that was dropped off at Northumberland Hills Hospital in the early morning hours of March 7th with gunshot wounds, and there wasn't much more to that story. And then on the following evening of May 8th, I got some local community intelligence from some of my colleagues on the reserve here that there was some action on the west end of the reserve, the west reserve we call it. There were cars on the parked on the side of the roads on the reserve, and we didn't quite know what was going on. And so I drove over, and a few others were driving around, and we were basically harassing these cars because we didn't know what they were doing. And as it turns out, the next morning there was an OPP raid at the address on Shearer Point Road. And then that was March 9th. And then between March 9th and the 16th, we met with the OPP on a few occasions and determined what had occurred. Allegedly occurred at this at the particular address, and we're not stupid on the reserve. We know what's going on, and so with that intelligence and with the information that we were receiving from the OPP, we then decided to issue a BCR and serve it on the individual that was residing at that address.
How much evidence do you need to take the kind of action you did when you went out to speak to this individual?
Well, I want to be cognizant of the fact that there's probably still an investigation going on. So I just want to be cautious in that. But had there not been this kind of an OPP intervention, it probably would have made it a little more difficult for us to do what we did. So I just want to make that clear that with what occurred, and this was a pretty serious raid that occurred. I was there. I talked to some of the emergency response team officers the morning that it was going down. And so had that not happened, it probably would have been a little more difficult for us to do what we did. But we do know that the man that was staying there is a non-member, and his tenant is a non-member. And so through the OPP investigation, through our meetings with the OPP, we were satisfied that we had enough to go on to issue that BCR.
So can you explain to us the actions that you took and what exactly happened?
So based on the information that we were getting from the OPP, and so not just the community police, but the detectives, investigating detectives, they came to the office a couple of times, and we met with them internally. And the information we were getting, we already knew there was some shady business going on. And then, of course, just to retrace a few of my steps, the investigation and the raid that occurred, had that not occurred, it would have made it a little more difficult for us to do what we did. But that blew it wide open. So it actually helped us to make the decision to write a BCR and then to go up and serve it on March 16th. So
what is a BCR, just before we go any further? What is a BCR?
Yeah, a BCR is a band council resolution, and it just lays out council's intent. And we, you know, we signed a number of BCRs for an array of issues, accepting funding, for instance, or what have you. In this case, we wrote a BCR, a trespass BCR. And we also have a trespass and nuisance bylaw. That's on the books, actually. The problem with that is the OPP will not enforce it. But all that aside, the fact that there was an alleged shooting at this particular address, and the fact that there was a large raid that occurred, that gave us enough information and evidence to write the BCR and then to arrange to serve it at 6:30 p.m. on March 16th. And in setting that up, I arranged for media to be present, and I also called the OPP, and one of their constables came out as an escort to keep the peace. And so there was ourselves, the media, local media, three counselors, myself, two media representatives, and about 10 community members. And we walked up the driveway, and I knocked on the door. I knocked twice, actually. The second knock, the individual came to the door, and I served him the BCR. And I said, we're here to order you off the reserve. I basically said, we're not stupid. We know what's going on. There was a raid here the other day, or last week, and we're asking you to leave. And we asked if there was anybody else in the house, and there was, actually. And they're both non-members. And he asked me, when is this supposed to happen? And I said, I think something like, well, you can leave right now if you like. I got a bit of a chuckle from a few people. And of course, we knew that he wasn't, going to leave immediately. And so what we did is we basically negotiated a 48-hour window in which he had to leave.
Dave, I'd like to just jump in here for a moment, because some people may be listening and not appreciate just how it is that the band council has that kind of power to ask somebody to leave the reserve. Can you explain how it is your band council can take that kind of action, please?
Every band council in Canada has that authority. Under Section 81 of the Indian Act, a trespass is named in Section 181 of the Indian Act. We have a bylaw making power to trespass people off the reserve. I want to read you a quote from the Canadian Legal Information Institute. I want to read you a quick quote. Since Europeans first arrived in North America, both governments and private individuals have interfered with Aboriginal Canadians' right to use and enjoy their traditional territories. Canadian history is rife with examples of the alienation and damage of Indian lands in circumstances that were not morally, that were not only morally reprehensible, but also often contrary to the laws of the day. So trespass on Indian lands is a historical problem, and it was referenced in the Royal Proclamation of 1763. And so every band council in Canada has this power. If somebody is on the reserve and they're not a member and they're up to criminal activity, we can trespass them off the reserve. And that is a fact of life and a fact of law.
Now, how often have you invoked this trespass clause for this council?
Yeah, in my time, I've been on council now. I'm coming down to the end of my 12th year on council. I was on the band council for 8 years, from 2007 to 2015. I was involved in one trespass during that term, or during that time. And since I was elected chief, there's been three trespass orders invoked.
Is it for the same reasons, or were they similar, or was it for completely different reasons?
Actually, different reasons. Yes, the others involved reasons that were not drug related.
Okay.
Or violent crime, not involving, say, guns. There was violence related to the other two issues. But not drugs per se.
Okay.
But three times since I've been elected chief.
Now, the individual involved said he had family relations who lived in Alderville.
We don't know what he's talking about.
Okay. And what happened with the property?
His former partner, she was a band member, and she passed away last July 2022. So he was there living with her as her partner. Under our matrimonial real property law, a non-native, non-member spouse has the right to stay in the matrimonial home, but there's conditions.
So what happens to the property now?
Well, because the individual, the band member, passed away intestate, there's a process whereby either the partner or a family member can apply to be the executor of the will. And so that's a process that, plays out all the time. It plays out all the time, especially if somebody passes away intestate, then there's sort of that whole administrative process of applying to be the administrator or executor of the estate. So that's a process that happens all the time. If there's a will, it's a little cleaner, but it's not like, a lot of people die intestate. And so that's a sort of a legal administrative sort of thing that has to occur. So right now, I'm not really sure what's happening with the property, but I'm in constant contact with the sister of the deceased member. And so all I'll say is that she's being involved in applying to be the administrator of the estate.
A large portable sign was placed in the middle of the driveway. What was the purpose of it, and what did it say?
The purpose of that was to warn anybody that wants to come out, band members, basically warning them that we will not tolerate illegal drug activity or violent crime. By order of chief and council, we placed that sign there on the evening of actually March 16th. Basically, the sign is a warning. You're not welcome in Alderville First Nation. If you're going to come out here and try to deal crack and meth and fentanyl, you're not welcome. And we're going to do what we can to keep our community safe. We also dropped a 400-pound concrete block in the middle of the driveway to obstruct any traffic from going up in there. that's the message. Don't come to Alderville to try to deal illegal drugs, or we're going to do everything in our power to remove you.
There were several rituals performed. Prior to speaking to the individual, there was a smudging ritual. And what was the significance of this? Afterwards, there was a group of women that sang. What was the significance of that as well?
The one woman was our elder and counselor, Nora Sawyer, former chief, actually, of Alderville. She was former chief of Alderville from 1987 to 1991, and then 1993 to 95. She's on our council now. She's our elder. And the significance of that was to just show that we care about the community, that we're taking back our community, that we want our community to be safe. And the significance of that is simply that, you know, we in Alderville, this is Alderville. So when in Alderville, do as Alderville does. And basically what we were saying is that we're tapped into our collective strength as a council. We were tapping into the strength of the community to relay a message. And I think that was what the women did, was the culmination of that entire process of trespassing this individual and making it sort of known that we're taking back our community and that we won't put up with this.
Policing and law enforcement on a reserve is a complex issue. Can you explain how policing works in Alderville?
We are policed not by any agreement per se by the OPP, but the OPP are reactionary for us. They're not in the community a great deal. There's been a troubled history between the OPP and Alderville. I know I've been around here a long time, and I can remember some of the challenges we had with the OPP going back over two decades, but it's become a much better relationship. But our concern is that there's not a community policing presence. They might not agree with that, but we know that there's not a strong enough presence in our community with the OPP. So what we've actually been attempting to do is to create our own service here. In fact, we were funded by Canada and Ontario. Hiawatha First Nation and ourselves were funded to do a Hiawatha First Nation and Alderville First Nation policing assessment study. And that study was completed in February 2022. And Ontario and Canada, they have that report. In fact, I just sent another letter to three ministers, two federal ministers, Marco Mendocino of Public Safety Canada, and Mark Miller, Indigenous Crown Relations Canada, as well as the Solicitor General of Ontario. And I sent that letter just recently asking them to reset the engagement and the process of what was occurring here at Alderville and Hiawatha regarding our own police service. So our hope and our desire and our wish is to have a community policing presence that will help to offset this kind of criminal activity that has occurred. And I know it's a big ask. It's a huge ask. Policing is expensive all across the land, as we should all know. There's a lot of ambiguity with policing on reserve. It's a very complex jurisdictional issue. It's all well and good to have bylaws here, but if there's no prosecutorial mechanism at the provincial level, then it's all for naught. So while we might wish for policing, we also need the prosecutors and the Crown attorneys to get on board and to process. a huge complex issue that the federal government knows exists. In fact, in the budget 2021, there was monies put at increasing the First Nations policing program and also filling the legislative void. I know it's a slow process, but it is on the government's table, and we can only hope that it happens sooner than later.
What's next?
What's next? Well, I'm going to be waiting for a reply on my recent letter to the three ministers regarding the reset of the policing assessment. So I will be waiting patiently for that to see what kind of a reply we get. I know the federal budget came down yesterday. I haven't gone into any detail on the budget and what it says about First Nations policing, but I will be boring into that to see what it says and to see how it's building on what it said in 2021. What's next? We are still, this council and the former council are still set on our own community policing. I should also say that we had a First Nations land management vote on March 18th, and it was successfully passed. First Nations land management, that might be another subject we'll want to talk about in the future. That's a very complex issue in which the First Nation will take back the 40-plus provisions that are in the Indian Act related to land and the authority over land. And so we will... It's a sectoral self-government agreement, First Nations land management. So that's a big, huge piece that we are now having to take on because the ratification vote was successful. There's lots going on, Rob. We're buying land. We're buying more land. So as Alderville gets bigger physically, that's going to increase the need for policing, community policing. So... It's quite a task keeping a handle on everything that's moving and shaking and coming down, but glad to be here to do it.
Dave Mowat, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
It's been a pleasure, Rob. Thank you.
That was Dave Mowat, Chief of Alderville First Nation. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.